Praise and thanks be to our God, to our Lord, for his grace and faithfulness that we can be here this evening. It is not a matter of course that you or we come here, but it is the grace of God with which he crowns us and enlightens us and allows us to come together before his face. So may he raise us up today, for he is the King, and him we want to see. May God help us to see and recognize him. Now, before we pray and call upon our Lord, I don't know how it is in your heart, but I think about it so often. We should pray much more. We should come before our Lord much more. Open our hearts to him. We should redeem time much more to worship and thank him. We should not remain silent, but open our mouths and move our lips and let our hearts be filled with his grace, with his Spirit, so that we can offer him thanksgiving. May he help us to do this and give us grace. Well, maybe I would like to read a word that we all know very well. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes the following and says, in chapter 2 from verse 8, 2 Timothy 2 from verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Up to here, this precious and holy word. We know from what has been left to us in the Holy Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote many things to Timothy, so often encouraging him and pointing out the way in which he should conduct himself. And he says here, as we read, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I don't know, but if we look into our time, or let's put it this way, when we hear this word spoken in our time, they say straight away, what presumption? Who can claim that what he brings is the message of salvation? The Apostle Paul, a man chosen by God, a man sent and ordained by God, he says here, according to my message of salvation, with an unparalleled certainty, And then he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And that was the proof that it is the truth. Because the truth, as we all know, was fought against from the beginning. The truth has been suppressed, even crushed, from the very beginning. And Paul was able to judge and recognize that what he spoke was the absolute truth. And if we look into our time, I may well say and call out to us, the word that has been given to us is the absolute truth, for it is fought against, it is beaten down, it is suppressed in bonds, yes, brought into slander and the like. If the Apostle Paul could express this and say that he proclaimed the message of salvation and those who heard and believed it, then we know that this word that has been proclaimed in our time is the same word, and it bears the same characteristics. May God grant us grace to carry with the Apostle Paul, with those who have gone before us, to carry the truth, the message of salvation, into the world. We know that in our time it is very difficult and not easy to tell the truth. Who listens to the truth? Because everything that is said is the truth reversed, the truth turned around, and mankind accepts it. Who listens to the truth? It has been mocked, ridiculed, yes, abused. And here the Apostle Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. So there is no escaping it. And then he says that we do not just live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, this is just as true. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are unfaithful, and this is also true, it is true, this word. If we are unfaithful, yet he abideth faithful. And this is so wonderful, for he cannot deny himself. May God grant us grace that we remain faithful to him and his word and to what we have heard from him until the end. The Apostle Paul said that he was in chains, but the word of God was not in bonds, but it went forth. So may God give us grace that the word that has been given to us, that we may still sow it and spread it out in the time in which we live, in what way he knows alone, but may it be placed in our hearts, that we may go forward with him, wait with him, and steadfastly persevere, so that we may also reign with him, so that we may recognize his faithfulness and remain faithful to him to the praise and glory of his name, for he cannot deny himself, for he is the truth, and the truth abides forever. Let us rise and pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence together, O God, and thank you for your faithfulness, for your word, O Lord. We are not worthy, O God, neither are we able, Lord, to give you the thanks we owe, O God in heaven. We cannot grasp it nor express it, Lord. We pay homage to you, for Lord in heaven, you went for us. You have taken the place for us, O God. I ask you to give me grace, Lord. Give us all grace and strength, O God, to honor and praise you. For Lord, you are worthy to receive the praise, glory, honor, and worship. O God, your time had come, Lord, and you have gone, O Lord. O God, and the time comes when you will return. O Lord, give us grace. Give us strength, Lord, that we wait for you, Lord Jesus Christ, with longing. My God and my Savior, give us grace, Lord, that we may be ready when you come. For Lord, the time has come. The signs of the time show it, Lord, that the time has run out. I ask you, Jesus Christ, begin with me, Lord. Begin with us all, Lord, that we may honor and praise you, that our hearts may be open to you, that our mouths may open, Lord, that we may praise and honor you, Lord. For thy word, Lord, is not in bonds, it is not held, but it is free, and you speak out freely. Give us grace to walk in this liberty, to honor and praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. That we can be here again is a privilege. And if we can worship, we should take the opportunity. Brother Schmidt has already expressed what we all feel, that we want to talk to God, to talk in such a way that we are certain that he listens to what we say, and also certain that what we say pleases him and is in his will. We all know that people pray a lot. That's nothing new. And there are certainly people who pray much more than we do. But the important thing is that we really pray in the will of God, that we talk to God. And as the Lord himself said, don't make many words, but tell God what moves us. And then there are so many things that we still need to have grace and learn from the Lord what we should bring to him from all these things. But it is written, if he hears us, then we have received from him the petitions we brought before him. So prayer must be made in his will, so that he can hear and answer. When the word was read here, that it is not in bonds, you all know, the word speaks of the word. Whether you read, whether you hear, it is always about the one thing, about the everlasting word of God. about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this word of God is not in chains. Here we read, as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes. It was preached to all, but the suffering and all these circumstances, what he actually had to endure was for the sake of the elect. He himself, and let us emphasize this today, he, this Paul, was a chosen vessel, a tool in the hand of God. For what? For the elect, to be able to bring them the word of God through revelation. To the Corinthians, he did not reveal any deep mysteries. He says, you who should have been teachers long ago are still in need of milk. But if we look at the church at Ephesus, even the letters to the Romans and Galatians, then we see how deeply he was able to enter into the mysteries of God. Here is what struck me. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, and here we remember the word of James, that we should endure steadfastly, because the coming of the Lord is near. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Paul was aware that it was not just words, but a precious treasure that was entrusted to him, the sound doctrines of the Holy Scriptures. So he could say, which you have heard of me in faith and love, rooted in Christ Jesus. Every doctrine, everything that is brought, must have Christ as its starting point and also as its goal. If anything else is connected with it, and not the honor of God and the glorification of Jesus Christ, then we have talked past God. Then it was not worth it at all. We realize that the point is that God gets all the glory. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. The same word that was revealed by the Spirit should be kept alive and preserved in you and me by the Spirit. God is able to do both. He is able to give and able to keep and also to preserve. Then it says in chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. This is also very important. Paul says here, what you have heard of me among many witnesses. Paul did not whisper into Timothy's ear and say, listen to this and this. What the man of God preached was heard by many others, and not one of them could come and say, yes, but he has entrusted me with something very special. No, what one person heard, everyone heard. What was for one, was for all. With God there is no secrecy, as is the case these days. We are sometimes amazed at the enemy's art of deception. If someone tells me that he is a juggler, I won't contradict. Certainly not. When people who have heard God's word are just tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but here we are admonished to hold fast and pass on what we have heard among many witnesses. And this is to be committed to faithful men, not to people who make their own business out of it, but reliable, proven men who receive for themselves what God has revealed, so that it can become a revelation to them, and then pass it on to others and teach them again. It did not take long for this early Christian era to come to an end. And the same Paul who gave such a profound exhortation, he writes, I know that after my departure many will arise, wolves will break in, tearing the flock apart, and present doctrines that are not right. And he says, the Spirit speaketh expressly what will happen in the latter times. If you look at it all like this, then you only need to read a little further in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and there are exhortations again. Here, from verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. When God speaks to us through His Word, and someone still feels like arguing about it, such a person should not believe that God has spoken to him at all. When God has spoken to us, then we don't feel like arguing with others about God's speaking to us. Then we become inwardly grateful. Then we don't feel like discussing it back and forth, but really believe it from the heart and receive it. Wherever God's word is used as an opportunity to argue about it, the listeners are subverted. And has it come true? You can take any word of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, last verse, and we will find together that every word of God is the absolute and pure truth. Sooner or later, we will see the fulfillment, whether it suits us or not. we will have to admit that everything God has said is true. It comes to pass because He knows how things will be before they happen. In verse 15 it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is something that has been close to my heart since I became a believer. If I preach God's word, then in such a way that I can stand my ground before God, not only before people, but also before God, to present and rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the exhortation continues, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Is that not so? They will increase unto more ungodliness. They can talk about God as much as they want. If they do it in an argumentative way, in bossiness and so on, God is not in it from the start. And that is why it leads to all the things described here, right up to ungodliness. And then also the babblings, that is like a cancer, but we have already been through all that. In Genesis 22, there is the word of Abraham with the landscape of Moriah. I just wanted to read that as a supplement for Sunday. We've talked about it here. In Genesis 22, from verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Verse 4 is perhaps also important. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Here Abraham's faith is expressed in words, just as it was later put into practice. Abraham knew that he had to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, because that was what he had been commanded to do, as a burnt offering, and offer him there as a burnt offering. You all know what a burnt offering is. The sacrifice is killed and burnt. What remains is ash. And what happened? The man of God says to the servants, "Stay here. I and my son are going to worship, and then we'll both come back." And he knew exactly that he had to offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham was convinced that the God who gave him the promise, "In Isaac shall all generations be blessed, I will make thy seed to multiply," and so on. He knew very well that even if I kill my son and offer him as a burnt offering, and there is nothing left but ashes, God will give him back to me, and we will both come back together, because we were taken from the dust, and he can take us from it again. This is a faith that cannot be described in words. Abraham is also called the father of faith. You can already see what it's all about. It wasn't just any old thing that Abraham believed. He believed in the resurrection. He believed that if he sacrificed Isaac, he would get him back. And he could say, "We are going to worship, and we are both coming back. We are both coming back." That's a marvelous word. What a faith. Beloved, God had spoken to him. And we just have to keep saying, God has spoken to us too. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be here tonight. It may sometimes seem as if the Lord is leading those to whom he has spoken through trials that he could not lead anyone else through. They might all perish. Take these men of God. Again, Abraham, a good example. Who could have taken upon himself what he took upon himself? But God had a way with him. And who can understand the ways of God? Who can grasp them? Who can comprehend them? How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. As much as the heavens are higher than the earth, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways than our ways. Who can understand and comprehend all this? Then here, in verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." I had already said on Sunday that a ram is a male sheep, and Abraham already saw this ram as a reference to Christ, the Lamb of God, and offered him up. His son could live. And we see later, when Moses called out the people of Israel, God said to him, "Take thy firstborn." Let me read this so that I can read it precisely, because my memory is no longer the best. In any case, it says there, "Let my firstborn go." The word firstborn must be written here at the Exodus. It must be here. Yes, here it is. In chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me." And you have read it in the story of Abraham. There God says, "Thine only son, whom thou lovest." Abraham had many sons. And God says, "Thine only son, whom thou lovest." And here, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Let my son go. And then later on, the lamb was slain for all the firstborn, so that they would be protected. We could talk about many things tonight, but we are here to pray, to seek the face of God, and to understand his will with us. Even though it is very difficult, perhaps we would do better to go forward in faith, grasping what we can grasp and not grasping what we cannot grasp, and yet going forward in faith. Someone said that a person had walking difficulties and he kept always falling, but always caught himself. He never fell, even though it always looked like he was falling, but still kept walking because he could catch himself. And it's the same with us. The Bible says, even when young men stumble and young men fall to the ground, the Lord helps them up and brings them through. I believe that together we can trust our God. He who has helped us this far will continue to help us. And if Abraham trusted God, and we are the seed of Abraham, let us trust God. And as we go into prayer today, beloved, let our hearts be set on God, giving us prayers that we can bring before Him. Not just these routine things, but something that God can really put on our hearts. And then we want to bring it to Him. And we all want to support this in prayer. And as we have said often enough, let us be really brief. We can still pray for the whole world in the closet, in our homes. Nobody knows how long we pray there, because we are always brief there. But it would be good if we could learn here to say to the Lord in short prayers only what He puts on our hearts in such a way that it would be a prayer worked by the Spirit. But please, don't feel restricted in any way. Open your mouth and God will fill it. Even if you don't know why you should pray, when you start praying, that may even be better than knowing beforehand. That can be better. And then God will give it. Then He will grant it. But let us take heed, so that as many people as possible can pray in quick succession, so that the Spirit of God can come upon us. And if it then pleases the Lord to work in all of us, then we will all join in, because we are open before God. After all, we are gathered here before our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the name to which all things are subject, in which all power is in heaven and on earth, in which all things have already been given to us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are here this evening. And in this name, we want to call upon God. And He is a living God, a God who hears and answers prayers. Let us have faith as Abraham had, believe as he believed, be obedient as he was, and God will also confess Himself to us by grace. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, O God, for Your comforting word, Your admonishing word. We thank You that we could see from Your word the heroes of faith, that we could see men who were in chains but still believed. They stood and did not turn back, even though there was much tribulation and hardship around them. But they believed You from beginning to end, O Lord. Lord, we ask You to give us all this faith and also the confidence that we will believe You, that we will hold on to You until we come to see. Lord, give it to me, O God. Give it to us all. Lord, we also thank You for the open doors that You give, O Lord. Lord, we also thank you for a confirmation of thy word in our time, O Lord. For Lord, where your word is spread in truth, there you still give people and you let people believe. Glory to your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen.